Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 18th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we will visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as new Mainers. We're going to play a song for you, and then I will introduce my guest.
Dominicano soy, de mis raíces yo no voy a olvidarme. Soy de una loma y lo llevo en la sangre. Montecristeño por la gracia de Dios, dominicano soy. De mis raíces yo no voy a olvidarme. Soy de una raza tan humilde y tan grande que de sus penas hacen rayos de sol.
Fernando Villanola. Villalona. I have a hard time not saying Villanova. Villalona, playing Dominican soy. Today my guest is Grace Caraballo, who also goes by Grace, or Gracia. She was raised in the Dominican Republic, one of three children. She was born to a judge and a town treasurer. Her parents recognized that education was unstable in her country and chose to leave their posts to move to New York City when Grace was 11 years old in order to secure their children's futures. Once in America, they worked as laborers until their children were off at college when they decided to return to the white sands and green waters of Hispaniola, an island shared by the two nations of Haiti and their native Dominican Republic. Grace and her sister both became teachers, feeling the import of education. She married her husband, Jose, who was in the U.S. military, also Dominican, and they lived all over the world until they settled here in Maine, where she teaches English at Kennebunk Elementary School and lives in York. Welcome to New Mainers Speak, Grace.
Hello.
So glad to have you here.
Thank you.
You left a beautiful island nation when you were 11 years old. And I was wondering what the things are that you remember most fondly about the Dominican Republic.
I remember that every weekend, we used to have a truck, and my dad used to pack it up, and we used to go to the beach every single weekend. That was something that we did as a family.
You lived in Santo Domingo?
We lived in Santo Domingo one time, but I was born in Puerto Plata. And we also lived in other places.
And the beaches, and the pictures are ridiculously gorgeous. Is this true from your experience too?
Yes, they are. The water, you can see your feet. Not like the water here. You can get into the ocean and you can actually see your feet because it's so clear and beautiful.
Wow. It's a big vacation destination, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Now it's all about people going and vacationing. That's one of the ways that the country makes money by, you know, allowing people to come and visit our country.
Kind of like Maine.
Yes. Yes.
It sounds like you were not always treated kindly by other students when you arrived here in this country and didn't speak English. And I wondered how you managed to rise to the challenges set before you as a little girl, an immigrant.
Okay, when I came, I was 11 years old, and we came to New York City. which was kind of a lot easier because in New York City we have a lot of people from all over the world. But it was still very difficult because we came and we did not know a word of English. And the teacher that I was supposed to be with, which was the bilingual teacher, she went on maternity leave. So I was placed in an all-English classroom, and I was bullied for 2 whole years because I was very good in math. I was at the top of my class in math because in my country, the classes, I had already taken that subject and those skills. I had already studied them in my country. And so I was really good, and these girls were not as high as I was, I guess, and I was bullied and not treated very nicely, and I was called a lot of names. Hmm.
Did you tell my mom's the town treasurer? I come by this naturally.
I know, right? I should have.
When did you know that your family might like to leave Dominican?
My parents used to travel all the time. In my country, when you have family members that they travel all the time, they come and bring you clothing and stuff from this country, and it was really nice because they always came with lots of gifts. But then at one point, they realized that if they kept us there, that whatever we became, it wasn't going to be as important if we were in the United States. So in one of those trips, my dad stayed in the United States to make a life for us, to get a house, an apartment, and to save some money. And then my mom came back, and then we stayed for maybe one more year until our visas were ready, and then we were able to move to New York City.
What did you expect New York City would be like, and what was it actually like when you got there?
In my country, back in the days, when you hear about New York City and the trains, people used to say that you find gold in the train stations and stuff like
that.
Did
you find any?
Not at all. And that you could find things, and that everything was going to be so easy because this was the land of the opportunity and stuff. But when we actually came here, we realized that it was just not that way.
No. You found a New York City in about what year?
We came in 1984.
84.
Yes.
So that was probably when they started cleaning the city up.
I guess.
Right around that era,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to see it raw.
I sure did.
And in your community, were there other people that were Spanish speaking?
Yes, yes. That's why my mother and my dad really didn't need to learn the language. They didn't need to learn English because of the simple fact that everyone around us spoke Spanish. But my siblings and I, we went to school and stuff, and we socialized with Americans, so we learned the language. But in New York City, it's very easy to continue your culture and to keep just your language and not learn English. Unfortunately, because I don't believe in that. If you live in this country, I believe you need to learn the language.
And that's spoken by a language instructor. Do you speak other languages besides English and Spanish?
At one point, I did. I used to speak 5 different languages. But there's a saying, and it's really true. If you don't use it, you lose it. So I've lost many of the others. Now I am fluent in English and Spanish. I still remember Italian and a little bit of Farsi. Then French, I've forgotten everything.
That's okay. I think you got your bases covered. When did you officially become a U.S. citizen?
To be honest, I don't remember the year, but I know that after we got here, you have to wait 5 years with your green card in order for you to become a citizen of the United States. It wasn't 5 years. It was a little longer than 5 years. I know that for sure. But I became a citizen. My mom tricked me.
Oh.
Yes, because I told her that I wanted to take the exam in Spanish, and I wanted to take it written like she did. And she signed me up, paid for it and everything. And she said, you're going to do it that way. When we went to get my citizenship, I was questioned just like everybody else. It was not written, and it was in English. I passed it, of course, but I was tricked into it.
Do you remember any of the content from that exam, the things they asked you?
Yes, they ask you about who's the president, who was the 14th president, the first president of the United States, about the Constitution, little things like that.
Yeah, I think those are actually kind of big things.
Yeah.
When I used to teach U.S. history, I had students that would bring me questions from their parents asking, you know, if the first 13 people are killed in some accident, who's the next in charge? I'll get back to you on that. I don't think many U.S. citizens actually know the answers to these exams.
Believe it or not, it's true. The only reason why I think we knew because we had a booklet and you had to study those kind of questions. But that's not like now. If you ask me those questions, even though I'm a teacher, I'm not going to remember the answers because that's not something that I do every single day or I think about every single day.
Mm-hmm. Maybe like how many feet you're supposed to stay behind a fire truck.
Yes.
For a driver's license exam.
Exactly.
So your mother and your father became citizens first?
Yes.
And how old were you when you took the exam?
I came when I was 11 years old. So I was like about maybe 18 or 19 years old.
So just crossed over into adulthood.
Yes.
So the song that you selected for us first there, could you tell us a little bit about what made you select that song in case listeners are curious?
The singer is Fernandito Villalona. He is a great Dominican artist. And this song is about what it is to be Dominican. It's like every time I hear it, I guess I get goosebumps because, you know, here we're far away from my country. And with my husband being in the military, we have been to Germany, to so many different places. And songs like these just remind me of where I came from, because that's one thing that my husband and I make sure that we teach our children. Our daughter was born in Germany. And our son was born in Alaska. And if you ask my six-year-old, where are you from? He'll tell you, I am Dominican. Yo soy Dominicano, because that's important for us to be able to keep our culture. So this is a song that helps us with that.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
You're listening to WMPG, Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. I'm Kate Manahan, and this is New Mainers Speak. If you're just joining us, welcome. Today I'm having a conversation with Grecia Caraballo, who is originally from the Dominican Republic and now lives with her husband and two children in York, Maine, while teaching Spanish in the Kennebunk Public Schools. So Grace, could you tell us a little bit about how you and your husband met? I think it's interesting that you came here when you were 11, but you still ended up marrying a Dominican.
Okay, when I started college in Hunter College in New York City, and there they have clubs from different countries. And I joined the Dominican Club, and I was public relations because I like to talk and socialize with other people. So I...
A natural.
So I was in charge of recruiting people to join our membership, our club. And my husband was one of the ones that I recruited for our club. And that's how we met.
That's great. So you were together all through college and beyond.
Yes, yes. My college years were the best because he made it. He made it be wonderful.
You two are very close.
We are very.
So how have you managed to keep your best of Dominican culture while raising a family all over the globe? You said through the music.
Through music and through my husband, I will tell you, and my family. As you mentioned before, my parents retired after they worked in this country many, many years. They felt that they wanted to go back home. And because their children were already grown, and we were already had independent lives, and we were set in our lives, so they decided to retire back and live in our country. So, going to visit my parents, a constant communication with my parents, my siblings, they're Dominicans 100%, and my husband. No matter where we go, my husband, my mom says that he's the most Dominican person that she's ever met because he is 100% Dominican. And then our food. I like to cook. I didn't know how to cook when I got married. And I learned to cook in Germany with my mom, my mother-in-law, or my sister on the phone. Every time I wanted to make a new dish, I would call them and they would walk me through it on the phone. Now I can help them out because I've become a very good cook. So everywhere that we go, we bring our culture and we share with our friends and our community through our food and our music.
And I can attest to the fact that her food is delicious.
Thank you.
I met Grace at a How to Make Dominican Republican Food class that she offered, and loved it. And my family loves it.
Good. I'm glad.
So your passion for food and cooking Where do you take this food? How do you let everybody know?
My husband is in the military, so as a military wife, one of my duties is to entertain. We've had, you know, people from his company, his units, and we make parties, dinner parties at home. And every time we go to somebody, they have finger food and easy stuff, American stuff. But every time we invite people over to my house, it's a lot of work, but I like to cook real Dominican food and show them that even though my husband is an active duty soldier and he fights for this country, his heart also belongs to another country.
Yeah, it's a both and.
Yes, exactly.
You can be completely American and completely Dominican.
Exactly,
at the same time.
Exactly. And that's one way that we've been able to. And we've been lucky because his commanders and everybody that he's worked with, they enjoy and love our food and stuff. So it's really nice.
That'd be crazy not to love that food. In fact, I'd like to say there's a new restaurant in town, and it is Dominican food. Mm-hmm. And it's down across the street from Artisan Craftsman down by Bayou Kitchen. And it's delicious. If you haven't been there, I was wanting to introduce Grace and her family to that today. Because the woman there says there are only about 3 Dominican families in Portland area. So many people must like Dominican food to keep that restaurant alive. Love it. Well, you came here as a child. Do you have advice that you would give to children and families who are immigrants about how to survive and thrive as an American?
Yes. Perseverance. That is the word that I would use to describe how you're supposed to live your life. My mom, I will tell you, my dad in my country, the male is the breadwinner. And so my dad, his role in the house, my dad is an excellent dad, but his role in the house was to go work and bring home, you know, the money and all that stuff. But my mom's role, she worked very hard as well. But she always, always instilled in us the importance of an education and the importance of getting to a different level. Not just staying comfortable where you are. Always strive to get better and better and better. I remember that she tricked me because I didn't want to go take that test. I was worried about it. She tricked me, and I took the test, and I passed it. I wouldn't have become a citizen then if my mom wouldn't have tricked me. Something else that she did, she said, we live in this country. We need to have a driver's license. So she paid for my driver's license test and for a driver, somebody to teach me. She did it for my sister and her husband before he married my sister. She said, you need to have a driver's license. So she did everything for my brother-in-law so that he could have his driver's license. So little things like that make a big difference. My mom always, always worked very hard for us to strive for better. And that's my advice for any family. And please do not lose your culture. Do not lose where you come from. Do not forget where you come from. Because what makes this country so beautiful is the diversity that we have in this country. This is the melting pot. The country is made out of people from all over the world. So please do not lose your culture, but also embrace the American culture. Because this is a great country. And we need to thank this country for giving us the freedom that we have and for giving us everything we have today.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So your own children speak Spanish at home or English?
Yes, my children speak Spanish and English at home.
Interchangeably? Within the sentence?
Yes. Yes, they do. And it's been very hard because the only people that they know in our community that speak Spanish is us, my husband and I. So we make sure that at home we keep Spanish alive. But their whole world is in English outside of the house. So it's been very hard. But with the culture, with the music, like in my house you go, my daughter would be listening to all of the American music. But if you hear the radio where my husband puts on, it's all merengue, salsa, everything Spanish. Because we have to expose them to our culture in order for them to be able to get it. Because they were not born in my country. They've only gone to visit. So they haven't been exposed to it as much as my husband and I have.
Are there special dances too?
Well, we have a typical dances for merengue, merengue típico, But yes, and we do dance. We teach our children to dance merengue and salsa.
That's a fun part of the culture, too.
Yes, it is. My husband is a wonderful salsa dancer. Yes.
I have to say, when I had our pre-interview, I was so moved by the story of your parents. And again, today you bring this context into greater relief, explaining what it is your parents did for you, but also what they sacrificed for you all to leave their posts as a judge and a town treasurer, really right at the top rungs of the ladder in Dominican Republic, to come and work as, didn't you say he worked in a restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
And she did home aid kind of things, common starter places for immigrants, even here in Portland. And how on earth, what did that do for you as a kid to realize their major status changes they had taken in order to provide for you?
It made me have a different appreciation for my parents. Because as you mentioned, my dad was the most decorated man in the town that we lived in. He was the judge, and he used to wear a robe to sentence people. And then they sacrificed their high standing, because in my country I had servants. I had a nana. I would get up in the morning and I had somebody do my bed, have my breakfast ready. That's how I grew up. That's how I lived in my country, because my parents, they had money and they were able to provide for us. But they, even though they lived so well and we had such a wonderful life, they decided to sacrifice all of that to give us a better chance and a better opportunity in our future. So my dad went from wearing a robe to sentence people to wearing an actually literally white robe to clean toilets in a restaurant.
How did he retain respect for himself during that transition? Was that difficult for him?
No. In a way, no, because my dad is a very proud man. And my dad and my mom, they're both, that's one thing that they instill in us, the hard work. As long as we're not selling drugs or selling our bodies, do something illegal, it's okay to do whatever you have to do to be able to provide for your family. And I saw that my dad did that with pride, because he wanted a better opportunity for his children.
And are they proud of the three of you now, what all you've accomplished?
Yes, they are, very much so. Very much
and
so.
Two educators. I think that it wasn't lost on you, their value on education.
Not at all. Not at all. As it is, when I graduated with my teaching degree, my sister wrote me a beautiful letter that made me cry, because of the simple fact that she says, since I was very little, that's all I've ever wanted to be. And when I actually got my degree, and she was so proud of me, because she said that's all I've ever wanted since I was young. And she was proud that I was able to accomplish that.
Hmm. What a gift. So can you tell me what it is that caused you all to come and settle here in Maine? How do you get to be our new Mainer?
I am proud to say that I'm a Mainer now, because we bought a house in York. My husband, with his military career, we've been to many places, and now he's stationed at UNH as an ROTC instructor. And we went to the Naval Shipyard, where they were providing, even though my husband is Army, the Naval Shipyard is our closest, military installation. So what we did was we went to get a housing from them, and the housing was not very nice. So we moved the town over to York, and we found a place there, and we rented. We fell in love with it. Our daughter, she has been to, five or six different school districts in different states, and she finally said, I want to graduate from here. I feel this is my home. And because of that, and then I'm acquiring tenure now for the first time in my school district, because I've always had to move right when I'm getting tenured. And my husband is ready to retire. We decided to go ahead and purchase a home and make this our home. So the military brought us to Maine, and we love it so much that we decided to stay and make this our home.
So glad you did.
Thank you.
You have been listening to New Mainer Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and I want to give thanks to my guest, Grecia Caraballo, for joining me here today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
We're going to play a song in a little bit, and I'll have her introduce that before we go to that. But I want to thank you for listening, and thank you for joining us each Sunday from noon to 12:30. And you can come back and have similar interviews with diverse members of our community. If you would like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainerspeak.com. Okay, now we are going to go to Mark Anthony. Can you tell us about this song?
This is my favorite song. This song is called Vivir Mi Vida, and it's by Mark Anthony. He is not Dominican. He is Puerto Rican, but it's still part of our culture because it's a Latin artist. And this is my all-time favorite song, so I wanted to share this with you guys.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoy some Mark Anthony along with us.
Yo simplemente vivo.